Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. Could you turn there, please? And if you're able to stand while I read these verses in your hearing, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. And reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Verse 10. "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." Verse 13, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you." And finally, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Every saint said, amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this word today. Thank you for the great grace at work in us, encouraging us to give freely, encouraging us to give generously. Lord, we know that it's you. You have changed our hearts. And so we need your help now. As we come to the word, help us to understand what you're saying, what you mean, how it applies, and then grant us grace to order our lives in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Again, our subject for today is a cheerful giver. You might remember that last week we saw in the first seven verses, verse 1 and 2, we saw that if you are going to give generously, and if it's going to be planned, you need to plan your giving, right? If it's going to happen that way, it involves reminders. And that's one of the reasons you find us every week reminding you of what you already know. We read scriptures that you've heard before because God challenges us to do that. It's no different than any of you that have ever had children. It's the same thing you do, right? You don't. How many parents have had a child to do something? You tell them one time and they got it. Children learn from think of how long it took you to learn your name. How many times you had to be told that, right? Or your address, right? And so we remind you of what you already know, because this is a part of you being consistent in your giving. So that in verses 3, 4, and 5, that planned and generous giving not only involves reminders and a zealous attitude, but it involves you planning your financial gift before it's time of offering. You're not to be moved simply by my appeals. What you give is between what? You and God. So God wants us to plan what you're going to give beforehand. So I prepare mine the night before. I'm not saying you have to, because I already know what God has planned for me to give. Now, that may be something above and beyond that's made known, but I'm talking about what I'm planning to give in the general offering, okay? So God wants you to have enough of a relationship with him that you know what he wants you to give. Yeah. Amen? And you give it in faith.
Amen. Amen.
Cheerfully. Yeah. Generously. Right? We also saw in verse 6 that giving needs to be purposeful. It's not haphazard. I'm doing this on purpose. I didn't make a mistake with my pen. for those of you that write checks. I didn't mean to write a 7 and made a 9 or whatever it is that you were. It was purposeful. I knew what God called me. If you give cash, I didn't accidentally pull out whatever bills that it was. This was purposeful. Right? So purposeful and generous giving, I do it, why? Because God gives to me bountifully. And I'm going to say to you again, Paul is writing to a wealthy church in Corinth. We are a wealthy church. It's all relative. When you look at the church around the world, we are wealthy. Think of the vehicles we drove up here. You say, well, I'd like a new car. Well, you got one. You got here in some mode of transportation. A significant part of the church is walking. In 2015. They're having church today on dirt floors. In huts. Right? We are wealthy. Right? And so God has been good to us. He has given to us bountifully, so I give, what? Generously and purposefully. I don't try to warehouse it. Now, I'm not dissuading anyone from saving and planning. You know that. But it reaches a point where you don't want to be found like that rich fool. You got a bonus, and you already plan what you're going to do with the bonus. Well, a part of your plan should be God. You see? Not just the new HD, not just the 3D TV. I'm not saying you don't need a 3D TV. You may need one. But that shouldn't be the only thing you got planned for the bonus. Right? And then finally we saw in verse 7 that purposeful and generous giving is done because God has loved us. God so loved the world, what? He gave his only son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You know God has loved you, right? And he expects us to be cheerful. We good? So we looked at that last week. This week then, now what we're going to see today is that Paul then goes on to give more reasons. Those were some reasons that he gave in the first 7 verses. And you could probably tell with me just reading those verses. We can't get through those verses today. And I'm tempted, but you know, I know the Bible says you shouldn't exasperate people. I don't want to exasperate you. I know I've gotten close to it in the past, but I'm going to try to be more reasonable today. So we're just going to look at one verse, all right? One verse. So we're going to look at verse 8 today, all right? And what we're going to see here, I believe, is that Paul gives these two reasons then for us to give generously and cheerfully. God's power, which I see in the first part of verse 8, and then God's provision, which I see in the latter part, okay? Thank you, brother. It is, because God is good. Now, let's take a look then, initially, at God's power. Why God's power is a reason for us to give generously. And so here's the truth. God is limitless in his capacity, in his capability, right? Think of that. God has no limit in his ability. Absolutely nothing is outside of his ability. This is what's amazing to me about this verse. I want you to think about it. You got you back at our text. You look at verse 8. I almost preached the sermon on that. Those three words. God is what? Able. That's we could spend a lot of time right there. Part 1, part 2, part 8, part 10. God is able to do what? He's able. It's the word in the Greek is dunateo. All right? Dunateo. And it means, y'all have heard of dunamis, that's the noun, a power. But this is the verb. He's able to do. God shows you his power. And there's no doubt about who did that. When Jesus stood in that graveyard and called a dead man out of the tomb, who did it? You don't have to guess about who did that. When Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, if he hadn't called his name, think about all of the graves that would have emptied if God calls them, just say, come out. He knew that. So he spoke to the dead one that he wanted to come out. What did he do? What are you going to do when God calls you? I don't care how long you've been dead. That's what we count on. It doesn't matter how long we've been dead. That regal voice is going to shout when he comes through the clouds. He's going to shout like a trumpet. Every and all the dead in Christ, what? Arise. You got to. You got to. You can't stay dead when he calls you. Care how long you've been dead. That good? Yes. He's able. He's able. Yeah. Yeah. No question. Every eye gonna see him. Every eye. Every eye is gonna know who called people out of the grave. Every knee. It's what? Going bow. Got no option. That kind of power? Mountains will be made. Huh? Low. Why? There's nothing that will be exalted above me. Now, I don't plan to go there. So I'm trying to be faithful here, all right? But he's able. He's able to display this capability. And I thought about this word, dunateo. By the way, I'm going to provoke some of you all to do more study. So learn to do word studies and just see where they take you. See what you learn. You just take one word. And so if you were to take this one word, I just want to show you this real quick. This word is only used three times in the New Testament. And so the question is, what does the New Testament emphasize that God is able to do? All right? The first one is found in Romans 14:4. And there you might remember that Paul is addressing judgmental Christians. Christians that look on other Christians with judgment because they're weak. Judge them because they're not living up to their standards, right? And so he says, God is able to make any weak Christian stand. He's able. God justifies every saint. He says, I'm the master. They belong to me. It doesn't matter what you think of them. He's able to justify them, the worst of sinners. Think that's how I got in. And that's how I stay in. Because he is able to make us stand when others think we need to be kicked out. And that's good. He's able. The other thing he's able to do, he was addressing weak Christians there. Well, you know, Paul was trying to work with this church at Corinth, and they thought he was weak just because he was gentle. That's what happens sometimes. When you deal with people with grace and mercy, they think you're weak. But Paul says, you're wrong. You're wrong. God, he says, God is able to bring discipline upon you. Just because I didn't get up in your face and shout you down doesn't mean you're not going to be disciplined. God is able to bring discipline among Christians that won't obey. Amen? Yeah.
You're right.
He's able. Amen. So he's able to help. He's able to help you if you're weak. If you're weak as a Christian and others are judging you, he's able to help you if you're weak and you're trying to help folks and they think that you're ineffective. The last thing, though, is that he's able to help you when you're weak physically and financially. That's what this one is talking about. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that God is able to supply what? All of our needs. He knows when you're weak financially. He knows when you're, and he knows how long you've been hurting. Amen. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, it's never a problem with his power. Amen. He always has the power to come through for you. God is able to provide any kind of help to meet the believer's need. Nothing is what? Impossible for God. You got that one? So he's limitless in capability. Secondly, when you look at God's power, and this is so wonderful, he's limitless in resources. Y'all know that, didn't you? You see how he says it here? You got your Bible? Look, turn to verse 8 again. God is able to make all grace abound to you. That's it, my brother, my sister. How much grace? All of it. All of that's a idiom. That's a gospel idiom to basically says God will provide you every blessing you need, spiritual or physical. Most time people think that God is only going to help me physically. He is going to help you physically, but there are many times you need spiritual help. Nobody else can help you. Have you had that? People try to counsel you, try to comfort you. They can't do it. And that's not a negative. That simply says that some things are just God's domain. You cannot get into a person's heart. God is the only one that searches and heals, right? The heart. And so God is, there's no limit on the amount of spiritual or physical need that he will meet. Is that good? Make all grace abound to you. Now, you remember what he's doing here. He is demonstrating why we need to give what? Cheerfully and bountifully. All right? God alone has access to unlimited resources to meet the needs of every believer. Now, you say, Brother Willie, so what do you think of this? Hosea, I believe it was, Haggai. Haggai 2, y'all know this. What does the Lord say? The Lord says what? All the silver is mine. All the gold is mine. You know Psalm 50. He says that every beast of the field is what? Mine. The cattle of 1,000 hills is mine, right? I know every bird of the hills and every beast of the field. God, what is it? God says it all belongs to me. It's my resources. It's my resources. You need something? God's got it. Isn't that good? And then, in case you missed it, James says this. Every good and perfect gift is what? From above. It comes down, what? From the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shifting. Everything good that has ever been given to you came from God. Your pay raise, your Social Security check, your whatever you get. Medicare, Medicaid, and all. God is the giver of everything good. Because ultimately, people don't care about you. You work on a job long enough, you find that out. God is the one taking care of you. Don't we know that? Thank God for that. You know that song? Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? The Bible tells me. So you need that at times when you've been done wrong. He loves me even when they've been passing over me. And he's proven his love for me because he keeps on meeting my need every day after day. Isn't that good? Why? Because there's no limit. Hasn't God provided your need in some way other than the job? Even when you work? Sure he does. Doesn't he? He's faithful. He's able. And he is faithful. Y'all getting this? So God's power then should motivate generous and cheerful giving. We good? That's one of the reasons that he gives. Second reason is what I call God's provision. This is the latter part of verse 8. God's provision. You're looking at verse 8? God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. That's a mighty verse right there.
Yes, it is.
Did you hear that? I'm talking about, did you really hear it? This isn't some Whitmore-ism or some whatever-ism. You see, this isn't some Creflo Dollar-ism or Fred Price. This is, God is saying this for the Christian to get it in your heart. God is able, and he does this so that you'll have all sufficiency for all things at all times. That's amazing. Here's the statement that I wrote last night. I really want you to think about this. Many believers don't give generously because they're concerned about having enough to meet their own needs. That's real. That's real. That's real. I'm not saying it's a reason, but it's real. Because God wants us to get beyond this. We walk by faith, not by the checkbook. I know it's tempting, but anyone here who's lived by faith and obeyed God in giving knows that he'll take you to the Red Sea. You don't know how you're going to get done with that month, but he opens it up every time. May not be pretty, but he never fails, right? And so God wants us to get beyond the point of where we're being stingy in our giving to him and his purposes because we feel like our needs may not be met. Now, this is serious.
Yes, it is.
Because we're talking about a God who says that I will make sure you have all sufficiency for all things at what? All times. In all circumstances. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
You listen to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God promises to meet all our needs, in all circumstances, at all times.
Yeah.
Now, you find something in here. Find something in here to where you can say, I might not have my needs met. Now, look at it. Now, are you looking at it?
Yeah.
God promises to meet, now you put my in there. God promises to meet all my needs in all my circumstances all the time. I didn't come up with that. Did you read it in your Bible?
Yeah.
Go back and look at it. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that what? Having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what he says. That's what he says. And he says to you, are you going to trust me or not? We good? Okay. Now, you remember, this is Paul is saying this to a wealthy church, which means even when you got money, you still have tight times. Yes? This is real. Regardless of your level of income. I mean, when I was working, making double my the income that I have now, and we were still having problems. Right? You know what I'm talking about. So it doesn't matter your level of income, the challenges are still there, right? And so that's what he's dealing with here. This is a wealthy church, but they got their challenges too. They're not real sure how their needs are going to be met. So he's challenging them with this truth. God promises to meet all your needs all the time in every circumstance. He says, all you can say to that is, amen, Lord, help me. Help me. Right?
Amen.
Now, I know I'm being repetitious, but I want you to be convinced that I didn't come up with this. Right? You read it in your Bible.
Yeah.
And so just like Malachi was trying to challenge the people of God there in the Old Testament. He says, God says what? Test me.
Yeah.
Right? See if I won't do what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Test me.
Yeah.
And I challenge anybody here to do it. I remember when I faced my first test, a young Christian. And God had, I was just learning to tithe, just learning. And started doing it when my wife had to stop working. Two new cars, car payments, mortgage, living on one income. I was living on $100 a month. But I didn't stop giving. Somehow or another, God make that $100 last us. I mean, a paycheck, excuse me, not getting paid twice a month. We got through. He met all of my needs. And I never had to back off in fear. Now, I admit, I was young, but I'm young enough and foolish enough to believe God that this is what he wants me to do. And he's never failed. Isn't that good? He's faithful. You got your own story. But I'm telling you, this is for real. He said, test me. Trust me. God says, believe me, right? He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. God feeds them. The birds, all they do is open their mouth and God feeds them, right? Learn from the lilies. Look at the ant. God feeds them. And he says, I want you to learn not to be worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what? Or what you're going to put on. Your Father in heaven, what? Knows these things. And if he takes care of the birds and the flowers, surely you know you are more important than that. Right? Yeah. Stop your worrying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he says what? All you need to learn to do is seek his righteousness.
Yeah.
And what? His kingdom first, and all these things will be added. Is that right? Matthew 6:33? Keep your priorities straight. Even when the pressure is on. I know it gets hard. We're not necessarily all talking about the situations in our house. And I know it's hard. It's the tests are on for all of us. But God is proving who you are. He knows what's in you. And he's going to prove to you what's in you.
Yeah.
Just like with Abraham. God knew that Abraham would give God what he was requiring, even though it was going to be a hurtful thing. Yes?
Yeah.
He's bringing us to that same point. All right, I'm moving on. We good so far?
Yeah.
Oh, I do need it. and you know what? God, he works in such a way. He comes to the New Testament to make sure you don't miss it.
Amen.
He says, Philippians 4, you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Be anxious, what? For nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, uh-huh. Let your what? Requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Now, right there, he's already said, don't be worrying about things. You know how he ends Philippians 4? My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Stop your worrying. That good? Telling you. All sufficient resources, and then finally he says that he does this so that we can carry out every godly ministry. Why does God meet all of our needs plus? And I'm telling you, God gives every one of us some extra. You say, well, I can barely get through. That's because you haven't adjusted your lifestyle. God always, God cannot lie. He always supplies our need. Now, if you spend it for something else, that's on you. But he never lies. He always meets our need. Now, because you have made your, quote, needs higher than they should be, that's on you. God always meets our, what, needs. He promises. Yes? So why does he meet our needs and give us a little extra? You ready? You got your Bible in front of you? You looking at verse 8? Verse 8 started with a reason, so that, you see that? So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, look at this. You may abound in every good work. God gives you, he meets your need and gives you some extra so that you'll do what he tells you to do. So that you'll give to what he tells you to give. That's a faithful God right there. Right? Now I'm going to show you how this works out. I think we're still good on time. Now follow me on this. God reveals to every believer which church you need to belong to. You may fight him. You may run from him. But God makes it known where every believer needs to join, needs to be a member. Study 1 Corinthians 12. God appoints See, everybody has needs. You know what I mean by that? Every local church has needs. And God knows what you bring to the table. And he'll send you where you need to go if you listen. Or you may be like Jonah, and you may bounce around a long time, but you know what's going to happen? You'll still wind up where God wants you, okay? And so God reveals the church to which we need to belong. He doesn't hide that. God is not hiding that from any Christian. I hope that you're walking in the peace that he's given you, right? Not only that, God reveals the ministry that you need to be involved in. And some of you may be fighting him on that. That doesn't mean he hadn't shown you. Yes? Because he's faithful. And he also reveals the people, the causes, the purposes that he wants you to help. He's a good father. And he's not hiding his purposes from any believer. Yes? Now, you say, well, brother, where are you going with all this? I want you to see that God wants you to know this is the good work. When he sends you to a church, this is the church you belong. He wants you to support that church. That's a good work. Give. You don't have to consternate on whether you give or not. Give freely. Give generously. Give cheerfully. Why? Because this is the good work he called you to. When he shows you ministries that you need to be involved in, he wants you to support it, what? Financially. Not grievously. Not under pressure, under duress. Because you know that's the good work. Okay? Now, that work needs to be making disciples. Not just busy stuff. God's work is involved in making disciples. Taking that gospel, some will reject it, some will receive it. But for the ones that receive it, he wants them to become what? Disciples. This is a good work. And God will faithfully meet our needs so that we generously can give to every one of his purposes. This is what I want you to see today. All right? This is what I want you to see today is that he will always give to us generously so we can generously support these ministries. So God's provision then should motivate us to give generously and cheerfully. God's power, God's provision. Are we together? God's power and God's provision ought to motivate us to give without hesitation, to give what he calls upon us to give it with joy, even when I don't necessarily know how next week is going to work out. How did God say it? Tomorrow has enough cares of its own. Be faithful when? Today. The things that you're worried about for tomorrow, they may not ever happen. Yes? But be faithful today. We good? God bless you. So, in conclusion then, my beloved brothers and sisters, we have, and I hope you've journeyed with me. I hope that I was clear. But I've tried to establish for you that we have clearly seen God's ability to provide everything we need at all times, in all circumstances, for everything he wants done. That's God's ability in this matter is can't be denied. If you have honestly and openly followed this one verse, you cannot deny that God is able to do anything financially, physically, or spiritually. That's undeniable, it's irrefutable, yes, it's unquestionable, and it's intuitively obvious to anyone who will approach this matter reasonably. God is able. So then, what's the issue? If the issue is not God's ability to provide, what's the issue? The issue is our ability to trust. Now get this. I spent a lot of time demonstrating to you that God is able to provide. So the issue is on us. Are we willing to trust him? Don't go silent on me now. But I do want you to think about it. Right in your situation right now, are you willing to trust God to do what he just said? To supply all your needs when you don't even see your way out right now? Yes? The issue is not his ability to provide. It's whether or not we will trust him and continue to give generously and cheerfully by faith. By faith, right? God, give generously to God in all circumstances. The Bible calls it in all things at all times. Give generously when you have plenty. Give generously when you have very little, right? Give generously when you're on the workforce, or give generously when you're retired. Give generously when you're employed. Give generously when you are unemployed. Give generously when you're healthy. Give generously when you're sick. Give generously when you're on the mountain. Give generously when you're in the valley. Give generously when things are working fine. Give generously when they're falling apart. Give generously when you're married. Give generously when you're single. Generously when you're young. Give generously when you're old. Give generously if you're educated. Give generously if you're uneducated. It doesn't matter. Just be faithful and give generously to God. God is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our trust because he's able. He's able. When you're weak, he's strong. You believe that? When you're poor, he's rich. When you're struggling, he's faithful. When you're tired, he's the Almighty. When you're speechless, he is the living word. You believe that? And when you're helpless, he's a very present help in times of trouble. Trust the Lord today. He'll lift up your heart. He'll lift up your head because he's able. If you're not a Christian, he's able to help you too. But the issue, if you're not a Christian, my friend, is not your money. God is not looking for your money if you're not a Christian. He's looking for your soul. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he's here today to save you. If you don't know him, he's able to save you right now. You got to trust Christ. He's able to handle all of your sins. Isn't that good? He's able to forgive you for anything. And you're not too young. You're not too old. He's able to save young people. He's able to save older people. He's able to save whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor. He's able to save anyone. And he'll save you today if you'll just believe on him. He's able. Father, thank you for the great grace we've been introduced to in Christ. And we ask you now by your great grace and mercy to work out the details of this word in our lives. Where I have not effectively, Lord, communicated, would you just make your truth real in the heart of these, your people. We want to be cheerful givers. We want it because you want it. We want to be cheerful givers because we love you and because you first loved us. And so would you help us now as we move forward to grow in grace and in Christ. And Lord, 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 please, would you save someone? Draw them to yourself today. And would you bring great resolve in the heart of someone here today? Help someone among us to settle in their own hearts and minds what you are saying to them today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.